Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hashtag no music, no intro. Oh my goodness. 4 years in the making. One of our first guests on the podcast 4 years ago when we were the Saints Twitter podcast. The one, the only NFL Network, Patrick Claibon in the flesh. So glad to have you on, man.
It's great. Has it really been 4 years?
It's crazy.
Yeah, man.
That's crazy. That's nuts.
I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That's insane. Wow. 4 years. Yeah,
the whole George Floyd thing. Yeah.
Yep. That's when you came on.
I was out there and the birds were chirping.
The birds. Perfect.
Yeah. Literally.
Literally.
Yeah, good. It's good to see y'all. Wow. Yeah. We've come a long way. All of us have. Yeah. I've come inside the house now. We can't hear any birds. I
got a suit. You would come on video. We're like, whoa, we're not doing that here. Like, no videos. So. Do those type of things.
I remember one time we had Baldy, bro. Baldy forced us to be on video. Hey, forced us.
He gets the best out of everybody. How about Baldy? Baldy breaking news earlier this week because we were doing TA. And we were just rattling off names and cap numbers. And it was like, well, you know, the Rams, it's Aaron Donald. He's like, oh, Aaron. Yeah, we'll hear about that later.
What? Baldy was holding on to that.
Oh, yeah. No,
sources.
No, yeah. He's in tune, man. He's the best and one of the best people in the world, man. And dude loves ball, man. It's just.
He loves it, bro.
Loves ball, loves, what is it? It's swimming in the ocean, living his best life. Can we just take a moment to just appreciate the melanin right now on this podcast? Just a little bit, man. Like,
yeah, we out too.
Like it. I remember when I went to the Senior Bowl 2 years ago. It was the Kenny Pickett Malik Senior Bowl, and going to like the press conference in the morning. And this is my first time being credentialed for anything. Just looking around, I was like, damn, it's a lot of white people in this bitch, right? Like it was just stark, right? We mm-hmm. know these things. We know how the league is. Jim Trotter probably doesn't have a job so we know these things, right? Just for us to be on this podcast and just representing, you know, our community and our it hits a little different. It's special.
No, it always does. And what I love, right? Because it was in my old spot, you know, with this 4 years went by fast, you know, I'm thinking like my old spot is CBS in Birmingham. Right. And you look around and, you know, it's, you know, I'm from Alabama. You guys, like you guys know in the South, like it's not a rarity to have a bunch of black people, but like in a news capacity, it would happen, but it would be like on the weekend or on MLK day. You know, it's a holiday and all of a sudden like it's the show is a lot more melanated, but like I can look around and we'll have editions of Fantasy Live, right? And like people will tell us it's like it's me, Kimmy, and Marcus on there, and it's like, well, is this the blackest fantasy show on TV?
Like, for real?
Yes, it is.
Right.
it's unfortunate, you know, that like it takes a lot, right?
Yeah.
For that to happen, but it's still worth celebrating, you know, whenever you get.
Man, one of the dopest things I saw was when Nick Saban retired, and somebody tweeted you like a picture where you were holding a big ass camera interviewing Nick Saban way back in the day. I was like, that's just dope. Like just to see that coming from that the way you had now, man, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was actually Courtney Upshaw, right? He was
Courtney Upshaw. Yep.
He went to he was from Eufaula, played at Alabama, of course, and I was there at the Senior Bowl. And I'm just getting video. I don't know why I was standing there. I should have been on the other side. Because what the hell am I doing in the picture?
And I'm just getting video. Were you working for NFL Network?
No, that was before I left. I was still in Dothan. I was either in Dothan, Alabama, or Birmingham at the time. And I was just getting video of him talking to Coach, and come to find Coach retired. And Courtney Upshaw was like, I'm going to miss you, Coach. And I'm just standing there like, hey. It's like,
somebody's taking a picture of you.
Right. Yeah, it's like, glad to have shared this moment with y'all.
Now Nick Saban saying Patrick Claybaugh making too much money. Anyway, can we?
Oh, yeah. Man, it's so disappointing. It's really so disappointing, y'all. Because it was, I held Coach to a very high standard. He always came through, right? Mm-hmm. And come to find out, in hindsight, he was recruiting, and the mask comes off, and it's sad. Oh. Maybe it'll turn around, but this is tough for me.
It's a bad look, man. It's a bad look. I like how we just have started and have not talked anything football-wise. That's what it should be about.
We could start with the signing of the day. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, did I? Oh, we talking about? Oh, is it
Stanley Morgan, baby? What you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, completely. See, I was checking my mental health and completely missed that Stanley Morgan got signed.
Do you know who that is, Adam? Because we don't know who that is.
No fucking clue, Ryan. No clue. Sounds like a Wall Street name, bro.
Hey, Morgan Stanley, baby.
Just call. Hey, I can see it now. I can see it now. We're laughing. We're having a good time. This conversation is going to come back. The bank is going to take New Orleans by storm. All right? And it's going to be great.
Man, I already got a nickname. Just got signed.
Straight up.
I hope he makes it.
I just want to ask, as a person on the outside, right, general observer, just give me Patrick Claybaugh's general thoughts about the Saints. I would say the last season and a half.
Okay. Last season was a failure. I think, everybody could be aware of the evaluation, right, from not just the city, the fans, but from nationally, right. The goal was not accomplished. So you try to establish what was wrong and what can we do to make it better. And I think, right, through because a lot of stuff, right, managing the conversations, the on-field stuff, the communication, the excuse making, all that stuff is great to hear about. You want to see improvement in that. Does that score points? Does that stop anybody? I don't know that it does. So there's a lot. There's a lot to prove, and there's a lot to come back from. But you have to have that base level thing. And to be perfectly honest, last season was Dennis Allen's best record ever.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Ever. The best job he's ever done as a head coach was the failure that we had just talked about. So that's where you're starting from. So you would like to have a cohesive offense where dudes aren't necessarily snapping at each other. They're on the same page. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to evaluate that in an offseason. It's very difficult. And so you're coming into a situation where you've got departures. And of course, and I understand the people that are going to call Michael Thomas an irritant probably aren't listening to this podcast.
No. Right?
They are absolutely not listening to it. They're already blocked.
Yeah, this is not the particular. And so anybody listening knows, right, and understands the way that relationship deteriorated, the role that the organization had in the deterioration of not just Michael Thomas's relationship with the franchise, but his actual physical capability.
Come on now.
They had a significant role in that, in asking somebody to have surgery, but only on their time. Don't get cut on our time. Don't go under the knife when we're responsible for it. We need you to wait until the offseason, right? And it's like, okay, now it's your responsibility to handle your body. Well, that's not how physiology works, right? If somebody needs surgery in March, then they probably needed surgery in October.
Right? Exactly.
It's a very difficult game to get healthy playing, In fact, I would make the argument that it's impossible. And if somebody appears to have overcome that, then we just don't necessarily have the context to know what took place in that person's body. But I say all that to say that that was a long-term problem.
Yes.
And it doesn't seem like we've moved towards a solution. In terms of, you know, the culture changes and all of these things, that I've never seen it. If you're the coach, right, then allegedly it's your job to manage and facilitate the culture, right? And so if it needs to change, and the idea of you being there was continuity, then where's the mirror?
Spit right now, right?
I'm not saying that, you know, 2024 is hopeless. I think there's still talent. There's still guys who know how to play the game, who can execute at a very high level. But as far as giving me reason to believe that there's going to be success, I haven't seen it. But I mean, there's people in New Orleans who will forget more football today than I'll ever know in my life. But I'm just saying, from an outside perspective of watching and evaluating the game, I haven't seen a reason to believe.
No, man, I you're speaking to the choir here, bro, because we's trying to find ways to believe, man. Like, we're trying, and they make it very hard. They make it very hard to believe, because as soon as we're like, oh, you know, that'd be nice. Oh, that's a good move. Then it's like, bam, something else happens. It's like, oh, but you got to go and do that.
You still need to play the game, right?
Yep.
And again, there's talent. You get a chance to see, you know, a healthy Olave coming back, and I understand the departures, right? They're going to be hurtful, especially in terms of, you know, the way that the fans feel about the product on the field. But there's still talent there, and they clearly can do it. The road got tougher. I'm not necessarily a Baker believer, and I don't know what 36-year-old Kirk is going to be like coming off this Achilles. But I think Atlanta's going to be better. I think Kirk Cousins hopping around on one leg back there might have been better than Taylor Heineke and Desmond Ridder in 2023. So other than that, the Panthers aren't going to be worse. I'm 100% certain of that. And so the road ahead has become more tougher in 2024 than it was in 2023.
Oh, yeah.
Is the team better?
And they play the AFC West this year. I don't want to say it like it feels grim, but it feels like there's like a big uphill battle they have ahead of them. And I think in a weird way, a simple win, and it sounds even stupid to say, a simple win for the Saints this offseason would be to like not trade Marshawn Lattimore. Like that would be a win. It would like not create this hole on a team that already kind of has plenty of holes elsewhere, I should say. But I don't know if that's how they're going to move. I don't know how they're going to do it. And I think you just asked a great question. And when we had Captain Terrell on the podcast, like middle of the season last season, my question I kept asking her is, what is different, or how is this team better this year in 2023 than they were in 2022? And like, and I use the example that you cannot use the turnover differential as a thing. And there wasn't much to say. So then like now the question is, and obviously the draft hasn't happened, free agency's not over yet. How was like, my question after the draft is, how is this team different and better than the team in 2022 and 2023? We yet to be seen.
To be seen. You know, Clint Kubiak, baby. Like that's a,
well,
that's going to be the answer, which could work. You know, we'll see.
And I think, right, when you have an offensive coordinator that wants to be an offensive coordinator on the team, right?
It helps.
It helps.
I think ultimately that helps. There's no question, right? When you know, because I think that plays into the miscommunication when the guys are out there and you know there's somebody holding the play sheet reluctantly. It's like, well, you're like, maybe I'll freelance a little bit. Like, it's like, you know, watching somebody at 4:58 on a Friday or about to walk out of the door, you know, making assignments. And it's like, maybe I'll just work from home. coming up.
Hey. Carmichael was in hell, bro. Hell.
Hey, but he's home.
He got out of there so quick.
And that's the thing, man. Because I was thinking about the way that the Shanahan slash LaFleur slash Slowick, the way that the offense has just matriculated. All is from sea to shining sea at this point. And then you think about the old guards, right? Andy Reid,
Sean Payton. Yeah,
there's a real allegiance to the people that they have worked with.
Yeah,
often to their detriment. I think Bill Belichick would be coaching right now, probably in the NFC South, if he didn't want to carry around Matt Patricia again. And I wonder when I see things like, you know, of course everybody loves familiarity, but when you see these guys follow each other, I just wonder, you know, not to make this a Sean discussion, but
maybe a Sean discussion, that's fine.
But what's going on? It's difficult to rebuild something that was so unique, and I don't know that it's going to work there. I can see that it definitely didn't work with Pete calling the plays himself, but he gets to have his buddy back. But I think Clint Kubiak, there's history there, there's relationship. Like David always talks about his relationships with Clint's father and the way that the offense worked and how Derek could operate in that. I think there's positive. I do think there will be improvement there. I just hope that they don't undermine the relationships with the guys who are running and catching the ball, able to execute at a high level.
No, no question. It's the number one question going into the season for the Saints. Like, is this coaching staff change? Because last year they made a bunch of changes on the defensive staff. Like, hey, this is what we need to do. Made those changes. Defense was fine. You know, it was a fine defense. This year, it's the offense. Okay, it's the offense. They got new offensive coordinator, new offensive line coach, wide receiver coach, assistant to the assistant of the assistant, everybody. They changed out everything. So it's like, I think we always question, like, how much impact do coaches really have, especially position coaches and assistant coaches? This is going to be like a perfect testing to see, because there's not going to be major shifts on this offense personnel-wise. But the coaching staff is completely revamped. So it's going to be interesting just to see as a test case how things really change, you know, for better or for worse, you know?
Well, I think all of the conversation definitely had an impact. And I think perhaps that we can make a case that Dennis Allen located the mirror at some point. And it's reflected in some of the changes, right? In bringing in, and hopefully there's not a lot of tinkering and meddling, and Kubiak gets to operate in the way that he sees fit.
That's the big one, yeah.
Because, you know, historically that hasn't always been the case, and we've, you know, you could, like, CJGJ is back in Philadelphia, right. And so if somebody's going to make the case that CJGJ was this massive irritant, then why would they have him back? You know, I think they acknowledged, right, that they tacitly acknowledged the mistake. Well, I don't know if it's tacit because they brought him back. Right. So it's straight up just acknowledging the mistake.
Our bad.
We should have kept you, Chauncey. We should have offered you what we offered. They were running back there, not covering anybody. And it was a much better version of CJGJ that left for essentially nothing. And so I think you would have to, right, in terms of evaluating yourself and evaluating your opponents, recognize where the mistakes have been made, and not duplicate them. And the number one way to duplicate that would be to trade a top five corner for absolutely nothing.
Ryan's face. Bro, I can't. They said run it back.
Run it back. Let's do it over again.
But not just doing it over again and it being worse.
Worse.
The second time.
Worse.
Because and then there's the case. It's like, well, what if he gets hurt? You could literally ask that. You could literally ask that about every player in the National Football League.
Every single player.
Every single one.
Oh, don't get me started. The injury prone designation for Lattimore. It drove me crazy. The dude has ruptured his kidney.
Injury prone.
Like landed on somebody's knee and burst his kidney, and he's injured. Like, oh, you are we serious right now?
No, y'all don't understand. See, no, my kidneys ain't like that. I'm built different, right?
Built different, man. I
comment on the internet, right? I've been doing crunches, okay? Marshawn Lattimore ain't like me. No, it's so vapid. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh man, but the thing, and maybe we look at this differently, and maybe it happens more in the league, and we miss it. But it is very clear that the Saints use certain people who cover the Saints as a conduit to be like their PR. Like the injury prone thing Ryan brought up is like a perfect example of that is being put out there by the Saints via through certain beat reporters. So that trickles down to fans. So if a trade does happen, it's like, oh, well, you know, Marshawn has been injured the last two seasons. It kind of makes sense where they're coming from. Does that like happen at the same level across the league and we miss it? Like,
well, it normally happens. There's tiny things, right? You get leaky organizations and not just leaky, like motivated leaky. I remember the Raiders, had somebody.
Why am I sweating? Oh man,
because it's hot.
Good ass conversation.
No. Yeah. But like you run across, you know, there's all kinds of relationships within a facility, and some people are going to not like certain players. That doesn't necessarily mean that's the organizational position, but it's very easy to find somebody and give them little tidbits of information in order to construct whatever narrative, you know, that you were and them are aligned on. So I don't necessarily know that it's always a whole organizational thing. I go back to the Amari Cooper trade, right? There were little bits of here and there, like, he doesn't want it. Like he's not really like that. He's injury prone. And then they make the trade and then it's kind of whole hog. Like, oh yeah, he wasn't giving effort, blah, 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 blah. And then fast forward, we have Amari Cooper's career. And then there's, DeSean Jackson.
I
was like, oh my god.
Yeah. When the schedule hasn't allowed it, but like I've already got it written up to be a segment if I'm ever talking to journalism students. Like,
yeah, this is real.
This is it. This for is real. Not this is
that
not
was
just,
so eye opening.
Yeah. It's not just like a motivated sourced leak to undermine fans' perception of a player. It was also virulently racist, right?
Hell yeah.
Hardcore.
And so, like, all of a sudden, like, D-Jax gets traded. Eagles fans are like, what? And then all of a sudden, you have an expose, like, he's in gangs. This is a grade A
gang league, member.
It was 5 minutes after the trade happened.
5 minutes, bro.
And so, like, there's examples of that. Of course, you go back to like Trent Williams is going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, right? And you have Bruce Allen celebrating in his emails, right? You know, the cancer survivor, right? Trent Williams, they were going to intentionally underpay him. And so like there's all sorts of things where you have motivated leaks, but it doesn't have to be like the entire facility lining up and taking a vote like, hey, are we going to shit on Michael Thomas? Like, it's not necessarily always like that. It only takes one unnamed source. And all of a sudden, you're reading it. It's like a Saints representative. It's like, oh, okay. All right. Everybody on Airline Drive hates Michael Thomas. But that's not always how it goes.
Right.
And that's the unfortunate thing with like sourced material, because it's a big organization that actually spans two organizations operating out of there, right? Mm-hmm. In two different leagues. And so it's hard to know, but you would think when something like that happens that somebody else there would step up and say like, hey,
exactly.
This is our dude. And that's the part where you kind of start to wonder, do people feel safe commenting in support of somebody who's on the roster. And if they don't feel safe in supporting somebody on the roster, then that's a huge red flag.
Yeah. And I think, and it's funny you say that, because I'm not, obviously, I'm never going to give up who my source is, but to that point, like, not everyone in the Saints organization have the that same type of mindset, right? And perfect example is, like, my friend, when all this, sorry, my cat saw a bird and went,
sounds like ham. Got him.
No. Man went ham.
Rest in peace.
No, there's a window right there. But my friend just put it perfectly when they asked, why are the Saints not giving Michael Thomas the same treatment that Marcus Colston got when he left the team? And like it took me a while to be like, damn, that's right. Like one of the most celebrated receivers in team history, all pro, broke NFL record, and you would think he was like just a slappy. Like it, disheartening.
Probably going to give his number to Nate Peterman. It's like just like
why? Wow. Why, Ryan? Why would you? Not the Peterman.
Sorry,
Peterman returns.
Hey,
got him.
First wave of free agency, baby. Hey, Peterman.
I can't. I don't get it.
You gotta have a sense of humor.
You got to, bro. You got to.
Get that notification on the phone. The Saints have signed. What do we got? You scroll up. It's the Peterman.
It's the Peterman. Okay.
I cracked a tooth, and so I'm at the dentist.
Dentist.
And I look at my phone. It's tweets from y'all talking about the Peterman. I'm like, I missed the Peterman.
Overarching. Let's get away from the Saints. Let's go to a happier place. Overarching. Just thoughts that's happened in NFL free agency. Just some teams that have caught your eye and what they've done and team building.
Yeah. We already talked about it. I like what the Eagles have done. Bringing back, acknowledging, right, the mistake that they made. The Commanders. I thought Jeremy Chinn was a value. I was expecting Seattle to be more aggressive because I know that Mike Mack had Kyle Hamilton becoming the prototype, but the comp, right, for a guy making plays in that position when Kyle Hamilton was drafted was Jeremy Chinn.
Jeremy Chinn, yeah.
And Ejiro Evero, right, as solid as those defenses have been, we just celebrated Spags, right, for his capacity to take the players that he has and to get the results based on what those guys can do, not necessarily a hard, rigid adherence to a system. Like, we're going to do this.
Zach Bond? Sorry.
Just throw that out there. If you can't do this, then you can't get on the field, which is, you know, it seems like it's I would like teams to utilize the value on the roster, because that's why we do this whole draft process.
Right.
Right. To get unique talent. Right. And have them use that talent in unique ways that other teams can't do because they don't have the unique talent. So I like what Washington has done. I think because there's a lot of consternation about Dallas being inactive, but it's Jerry being a bargain hunter. They get is that the bird killer? Okay.
But yes, in theory, yes.
But it's like it was March 13th last year when they trade for Stephon Gilmore. They get Brandon Cooks. I think they're just gonna wait, bargain hunt, get those late last year or the deal values that they just got. You know, and going to get an Eric Kendricks because they made a decision last year to just not have linebackers, which was weird because they got ran out of the playoffs in their own building. And so I go down like that route of addressing what went wrong and then directly addressing that particular thing. Bringing back Mike Evans feels like a steal. Mike Evans is getting signed for Calvin Ridley money.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, and that's odd to me. So like retaining your unique talent and going and getting it is kind of how I evaluate things. So those are some teams that jump out to me. Some teams feel like they're lost. I don't really know. I think it's going to be draft dependent. I don't know what's going on in New York. With either team. You know.
We need to talk about the Jets.
Can we?
Yeah, let's talk about the Jets. Let's talk about the right wing manosphere weirdo quarterback that for some reason is always a headline. I don't know.
Always.
And maybe I'm dating myself, and we'll all date ourselves here. But when Mike Tyson lost his mind, there was that period when Mike Tyson lost his mind. People kept putting a microphone in front of him.
Right.
They kept doing it, and he was like, "Oh, Mike said some crazy shit." It's guaranteed to happen every time. And so what you're doing when you put a microphone in front of him is you're saying, "Hey, audience, here's this absolutely unhinged, contrail believing, right wing manosphere podcast host that I don't know if it's gonna work at quarterback.
I don't know.
I don't know. Do I want it to? No. He's ensured that I don't want it to.
Prayers down.
Because he's not the only MAGA quarterback that's gonna take snaps. Of course.
Oh, well, we this is the same podcast, but anyway, look at
but it's just to take it to its natural extent, and I guess I appreciate him and any other person that has his belief system being honest about it, so I can know, right? Yeah. And
yes,
and you're not doing a song and dance, and I'm putting myself and my family at risk. But yeah, I don't know what the plan is there. I know he's the one making it, which should give everybody some,
which is wild that concern. They're like still kowtowing.
Yeah,
to that.
That's crazy.
Well, I mean, he speaks the same language as ownership. So you know, makes sense. But you know, if you go over to East Rutherford, and they're being saddled still by the decision that they made.
Daniel Jones on that ridiculous contract.
Yeah, and it's just they're going to have to play Saquon twice next year. And again, the folks who, I don't know, don't like football are going to be like, well, what if he gets hurt? What if he doesn't?
Y'all? Right.
What if Saquon Barkley doesn't get hurt? And A.J. Brown and Jalen are – and they were running the Giants out of the building with Saquon having the team on his back.
Yeah.
What happens now?
And Saquon's on a team that run blocks extremely well, as opposed to the Giants, who I believe was like worse in run blocking rated in the NFL. Like,
yeah. And so it's unfortunate that Saquon was saddled with that franchise during the prime of his career. Right. You know, if we're talking legendary type stuff, if he wasn't, and he was on a functional offense with an offensive line and a quarterback, That's rectified, and I'm just not sure what the actual path for. And number six is big in this, right? Maybe somebody doesn't like one of these quarterbacks as much as we think they do. Maybe, you know, there's a move and there's some sort of idea for how they're going to approach the next couple of years. But until that happens, I don't know. Man, they've got everybody in the dark, and I guess it's good that people don't know what your plan is before the draft. But at some point, you got to have one, and the past couple years, they haven't.
Well, what were your thoughts when you saw that that the Vikings trade that they pulled off today with who did they trade with?
Houston,
The Texans.
Houston, yeah, with the Texans.
It's a pick exchange. I mean, considering what Caserio was able to accomplish last year in the draft, I'm not going to doubt it. I'm looking at that value of the first round, and they don't necessarily see it at 23, I believe,
yeah,
was the move they traded out of.
Yeah, something like that.
So they're gonna get a couple of shots in the second round, and then I understand the mindset that a future two is the same value as a current three, mm-hmm. but time does pass. And that two is going to be a two.
Be a two.
Yeah, yeah. Like, right. Exactly.
Like there's no question. So like, I get it. Like, you know, you trade picks and eventually somebody else is making those picks because you get fired. But Nick Caserio is going to have a job. And we see this like situation constantly replicate itself where you have a general manager that has job security and they're able to actually make investments in the team long term versus these guys that are looking over their shoulder, and it's like, I got to do something right now. I either got to splash or I got to dash. And so I think there's value for Houston. And then Quessies, you know, they lost their quarterback. They had money that was going to be devoted to their quarterback, and now they got to take some swings. They got to take some shots. Yeah. So I think it could benefit both teams. There could be a mutually beneficial trade, and I haven't run it through the Rich Hill value chart yet, but I'm pretty sure it aligns. I'm pretty sure it's a decent trade.
Chase Young, I know he came up when you were talking with Mina. Great episode, by the way.
Oh yeah,
appreciate y'all.
I feel like as a Saints fan now, even with all the warts and inconsistency that Chase Young brings as a player, I feel like I'm thirsty. I need pass rusher. Like I don't want. Like I get it. We went through that. We've had Davenport. We've had Peyton Turner. Isaiah Foskey, who I don't even know who or what he is, and he was a second round pick last year. Am I insane for thinking like if the Saints can get Chase Young, and he's not even visiting the team today as previously scheduled. I don't know if he said but whatever. If they are able to sign him for a reasonable what have you contract, that it could work out.
Oh, I think it could. I do think it could. I don't like punting on Chase Young at this point. Feels like a mistake. There's everybody recovers when we talk, especially when we talk about guys who had a torn cruciate, right? Well, you experience that at 22, 23. You've never gone through that before. Everybody's body is going to respond differently. We just saw Jadeveon Clowney have his best season.
Insane.
Since microfracture. There were seven seasons in between that, right? Mm. Like you can utilize folks in a certain way where they can have success. I think Chase Young could contribute. I know the organization was a disaster in DC. He right. comes over, he has to make a late adjustment and try to push to win a Super Bowl. He made plays in the Super Bowl.
He did. He made a lot.
There's
and in the NFC Championship game in that second half against the Lions.
Yeah, and of course people are going to clip out right the Jahmyr Gibbs run against the Lions and be like, oh, Chase Young, dude. I got news for y'all. He scored a touchdown. Nobody else on the field made a play for San Francisco on that play either. There's a lot of bad take on that play because Jahmyr Gibbs is good, right? And so like if
stellar.
If you're asking a you know either the front side or the backside defensive end to make a play on Jahmyr Gibbs, it's like okay if that's the bar, then a lot of people aren't clearing that bar.
Yep, right. Absolutely.
So ultimately, I think Chase Young could contribute. I think that would be a positive sign. That would be a positive sign. You get somebody to work along Cam towards the end of his career. I think Cam is probably motivated to teach Chase Young a little bit more than Bosa was. And that would
happen. The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And I would have a lot more confidence that he could be a better football player. You know, irrespective of the staff, just being down there and being a part of a community that's going to embrace him and celebrate his success. I think, right, if it is a signing, and I'm with you, Adam, I'd feel confident despite the fact that the visit isn't happening. I feel like 10 sacks.
You know, I'll take it.
in the 20s and pressures. I think that's the bar.
Then the rotation would then be, we have aptly named him Big Creep, Chase Young, and Cam Jordan.
Right.
So, and you have a rookie, not rookie, you have a second year player in Brian Breesy, who just looked like a good first round pick, and we didn't have to squint to be like, is he good? He's a good pick at defensive tackle, and we've said it, like, he's been the best draft pick the Saints have drafted at defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. Maybe Sheldon Rankins, maybe pushing for it, but I digress. Just an also crazy stat is that Chase Young is 24 and Jared Burris is like 23. That is wild.
That's wild, bro. You texted me that yesterday. I was like, damn. I was like,
yeah, the COVID age thing has, and I think this is probably going to be the last year of it. But I mean, you know, with players actually getting a little bit of the compensation they deserve in college football now, you know, guys are, there is a case to be made for staying. And so I think the age is going to creep up a little bit. But it's ultimately, like, especially when it comes to draft stuff, because I remember that was the discussion with the fact that Calvin Ridley and Amari Cooper are the same age, right? Mm. And it was, but when you're drafting somebody on a rookie deal, who cares?
Right.
Who cares? And I think when you've got somebody like Chase, it's only to their benefit, right?
Yeah.
That they've seen and experienced all the things that they have. And
already.
They got a 24th birthday. 24, you know, maybe, again, I'm giving my age. That's a child, man.
Yeah, bro.
A baby, bro. Hey, baby. No offense to the 24, 23-year-olds who listen to this podcast.
You'll understand.
You'll understand.
It's 365 days for everybody. I'll take mine and put them up against anybody else's. But
that's right.
You know, time is a reality. And so, you know, but unfortunately, so is football. It's just like, what's the line there? The accumulation of punishment that your body has taken. But it's certainly easier to deal with at 24 than it is at 30. I know that.
Yes.
Speaking of Cam Jordan, you think he's going to end up being one of your coworkers some point in the future?
I mean, I hope
possibly.
So. I hope so, because one, that would mean I was still working. it's a good dude to work with. He's going to be able to do whatever he wants to do when he's done. I don't know if that's going to be there or out here, but I think he'll have his choice. And it's going to be good, because we've,
can I break some news?
Yeah,
can
let's
I break
break
some news from Josina Anderson. Breaking: I am told the Eagles are working to trade for quarterback Kenny Pickett.
Interesting.
Gotta get a backup.
Yeah,
you do. But if you're Pittsburgh and you only have, let's see, Russ for maybe a season, do you trade for Justin Fields and he backs up? I don't know. It's interesting.
Interesting.
It makes you go.
It's one of those things where, I mean, you could, like, why not?
Right.
We saw all of these backups. We had Tyson Bagent starting multiple games last year.
That's Tyson Bagent. Put some respect on that man, baby. Tyson Bagent. He was cutting up DA's defense in the first half, bro.
He was.
Bro, we were there. We were there.
I was like, who is this guy?
Tyson Bagent is out there cooking, bro.
Who is this guy, man?
Just putting the sifter on y'all, the sugar falling down.
That pile of sugar, boy.
Cole Kmet was, anyway, sorry, I apologize.
No, but honestly, because I know that there's, you know, we have a whole lot of amateur psychologists out there, and you don't want to have a backup that's too good, because otherwise, you know, your quarterback's going to. Russ has seen it all, man, at this point.
Right.
He's had, you know, multiple, you know, future Hall of Fame teammates come out and dunk on him. We have the entire society of the planet.
Dunk on him, bro.
Just dunking on Russ.
Repeatedly.
My
turn. Your turn.
I'm still.
It's come full circle. Yeah.
I'm still not even sure why. I'm still not even sure why. Like, all the vitriol that got directed at Russell Wilson because he's a little, I guess, corny. If being corny gets you Sierra, then what's the value in being cool? I don't know.
Meanwhile, Atlanta's putting grills on Kirk Cousins with the chains and all that.
I've heard people be like, is Russell Wilson going to be a problem in the Pittsburgh Steelers locker room?
What?
Russell Wilson of all fucking people. What?
And so, yeah, I think if the value is there, that'd be kind of an indictment of the rest of the NFL if the Steelers were able to do that and pull that off. So maybe it won't happen. And maybe, maybe Justin is the option in New York as, they essentially would ice out Daniel Jones, kind of like the Broncos did towards the end of Russ's career in order to avoid paying him 2025 money by his playtime in 2024. But that would be an option. I still think, there's value in these backup quarterbacks, and we've seen that. Especially considering, I think Jameis is going to play. Jameis is going to play in Cleveland at some point.
100%.
I mean, can we talk about the fact that Deshaun Watson, a.k.a. Mr. 22, got benched last season and, no one, really talks about it?
No, it's worth analyzing, right? I don't think anybody expected, Joe to come in and have the best 4 weeks of his career.
Man was cooking, bro.
What game was that? The game against the Texans, the regular season game against the
regular season, yeah,
regular season one, yeah.
Like Amari's breaking the Josh Gordon.
Yeah, he was cooking Derek Stingley. I felt bad for Derek Stingley at one point, bro.
I love that stuff, man. I love that stuff.
It's the stuff of legend. It wasn't sustainable.
No.
They come back and they have to deal with Houston again, and it didn't work. And so there's going to be little stretches. I do remember that last good game Deshaun played was probably his best game in Cleveland.
I do. It was
against the Baltimore Ravens. And so there's a little bit of hope there if you are hopeful for the Nasty Man, right, and his long term capability.
Prayers down.
Yeah, I mean, we're not. I think Jameis finds a way on the field, and it causes some folks to evaluate. Maybe we punted on Jameis a little early. Jameis made one of my favorite plays of the season last year, the touchdown to A.T. Perry.
I thought you were about to talk about the Atlanta Falcons, Jamal Williams touchdown.
Oh, yeah, that was my second.
He had a couple. But he had a couple, man. He had the one to Chris Olave.
Oh, my God.
The thing about Jameis is, he gets people behind him, man. It's fascinating to see how many people just enjoy being around him. The city loved him. New Orleans loved him to death.
And he loved the city back.
Yeah. And that's how New Orleans is. You love New Orleans, they're going to love you back 10 times more. So I think it'd be fun for him in somewhere like Cleveland. I think it's going to be, I think Deshaun going to be looking over his shoulder a little bit
there were clear signs, right, of a Deshaun recognizing that his body doesn't do the things that it used to do. He wasn't getting past people in the same way. He wasn't stepping out of sacks in the same way. And he had to adjust to that. And maybe we see guys, I hate to, basketball isn't football. Shout out to Mark Sessler. It's a very different game. but you watch older guys in their career kind of evolve the game.
Have to adjust their game.
Vince isn't flying on people's heads all the time anymore. He's throwing more head fakes. He's adjusting. And there's a capacity for that. Especially in being around and actually playing the game. But Jameis gets buckets. It's what he's always done. And a lot of people learn.
Buckets and turnovers, but a lot of buckets too, though.
That's it.
But, I mean, it's been more buckets than turnovers, here recently. And so when you got even just the audacity to attempt a 53-yard throw from the 12-yard line.
God's playing. God's playing, man.
I mean, 43, excuse me, but still.
Early trade details from Jonathan Jones. The Eagles are sending a 2024 third for the Steelers, 2024 fourth, and 2 sevenths of 2025.
So future sevenths and a fourth rounder?
Yes.
For a quarterback that started like 20 games in his career? That's, wow, they did not want Kenny Pickett around anymore.
Get him out of here. Out of here.
Wow.
Interesting.
That's such a strong like indictment, and me and Ryan say it all the time. Like teams, whether the teams are right or wrong, they will let you know how they feel about a player very much so in their actions. Like clearly, like, it is clear that the Steelers had no value, did not want Kenny Pickett to be around the locker room, didn't want the key card to work, like, got him out.
Yeah, and, you know, some organizations hold on to mistakes. I don't want to necessarily say that Kenny Pickett is a mistake and that his long-term viability is over. But, you know, again, when there's continuity, when there's trust and faith that you're going to have a job, you're able to make decisions to put the team in a solid position. So now, you know,
or detriment Mickey Loomis, but yeah.
But I mean, you get a first round quarterback salary off the books.
Yeah, it's true.
You can be more flexible in other places, and you're playing a guy who's gone to 9 Pro Bowls, the veteran minimum, and so it's house money. What do you want to do at this point? They can do it. Whatever it is they want to do, I don't know if Veach and Andy Reid would put the kibosh on it, but maybe they can make an offer to LeJarius Sneed now after this. Like the world is their oyster, and you just want to have shots. You want to have shots at the dartboard, and the Steelers, right. Steelers got them here. But again, I don't know what those two future sevens are going to do. Everybody might not have access to a legend like Stanley Morgan Jr.,
not everybody. We do.
Can find a couple of them maybe in the future seven.
We do, though. Last one for me, because we don't want to keep you too long. We enjoyed the conversation. It's been fantastic. When we could talk about the draft forever, but just give us some Claybon draft thoughts. And that's very general. That's very broad, but.
Yeah. My number one draft thought is I don't know what happens at one. I don't know. I do know that whether it's Justin again, whether it's they trade down and take Jaden, or whether they take Caleb at one, they're going to need to do a better job of facilitating a successful opportunity for the quarterback, no matter who it is. They need to figure everything else out. I just hope that whoever the quarterback is, if it's still Justin, if it's Caleb, if it's Jaden, then they get an opportunity to be evaluated fairly. That's my first thought. Malik Nabers is my wide receiver one. I think Marvin is talented. You know, obviously there's bloodlines. But just in terms of the explosiveness, the route running, the late hands, the way he's been able to compete through multiple plans, multiple quarterbacks. Malik Nabers is my wide receiver. I know Rome has been great. Marvin could be spectacular. But I've got Nabers at one. And I think through the combine, more people have seen what Dallas Turner was able to do.
Yes.
And appreciate. I think ultimately when folks are talking about edges in the draft and they may feel like it's down, it's like, well, you know, there's no Myles Garrett. I'm not putting that on Dallas Turner.
Right.
But I think Dallas Turner is going to turn a lot of heads coming up next year. And so we're talking about all these quarterbacks. I think he's going in the top 10. And because we're going to have so many quarterbacks going early, there's going to be a team, whether they trade up to get into the top 10, maybe they use some of these future picks because, you know, somebody's confident that they're going to have a job. Somebody's going to get a top 4 caliber player, maybe around 7, 8, and 9. Yep. And the difference in value there is significant. Let's see. What other draft thought? I have appreciated. I want all these guys to get paid. I want them to be healthy. There was some extra stuff at the combine. right? And we celebrated it. You know, out there, you know, going through the drills and extra time, stand to say thank you to everybody, to try to get that, you know, first guy in, last guy out, type perception mm-hmm. thing. And it's, you know, it's image enhancement on behalf of the players, and the players are playing the game, but the game is pitted against them. Right.
Yeah.
And so while it's like, that's a little extra, I'm glad to see, that the players are hip to it and they're playing the game. I don't want them to I don't want people like hovering over, you know, Credit Karma and getting their Equifax scores, you know, while they're being robbed blind anyway. But, while I would like the structure to be different, I'm glad they're doing what they need to do to make the people that, you know, want them to dance the way they want to dance and sing the way they want them to sing.
That's how I feel about it.
But I'm glad that they recognize the game and know that they have to play it.
You know, we know someone who don't dance though.
I support the non-dancers. I support the victory formation touchdown, right? I support calling out the head coach during the game on Twitter. Right? I support all these things, right? Because not only is it fun, right? It's truthful, it's factual, right. and that's what we should do as an industry. We should provide people with contextualized information about the game and the people that play it, so that they can develop a relationship for it, not selling BS.
Exactly.
So yeah, whatever it takes to get yours. Players, I celebrate that.
I don't think I've seen a vitriol towards a quarterback like Caleb in Let's talk about it because we all talk with and know
low information you know, fans that aren't necessarily dialed in at this time of year. I've had so many conversations with fans that have acted like not throwing at the combine is some sort of sin that no one has ever committed before. And I've had multiple people reference this idea that, you know, Caleb wants ownership of a team.
Everybody does.
Who doesn't? I want ownership of a team.
What? It's like, yeah, he's this out of touch, uppity Negro. He wants uppity Negro. And it's like,
that's exactly what we've been saying for weeks.
That's what they said. When he came in and said, "I'm not doing the medicals." That shit right there, I loved it so much, bro. I was like, "Yes,
you got to set up a meeting with me, and then I will release my medicals to you."
Like, we've had that chronicled how harrowing the medical process is at the combine. Where dudes are getting poked and prodded for 6 and 7 hours, and it's like, why is this like this? And if somebody has the audacity to say, "Hey, that's not necessary," then that's some sort of crime. And it's just like, and again, it's anecdotal. It's just the, you know, 10-15 conversations that I've had with completely random people, like barbershops, you know, all this other stuff. But the fact that people don't even know when the combine is. But they have something to say about Caleb Williams not throwing when all of the quarterbacks didn't throw. It seems like that there has been a significant proliferation of anti-Caleb propaganda. Why? Because this dude likes his dog and he wanted to win a football game. It's weird, man. It's very weird.
The funny thing was, like, Jayden Daniels also didn't throw, but like it was fun. Like, well, he's going to do at the pro day so he can like help his teammate. Like, it's like. Our spin, like, I'm hip to the game, bro. Good.
Well, and also there's the issue, right? Because we had this tampering discussion, right, this week, and you know, people start to wonder, like, why are the rules? Who does this benefit? And ultimately, a lot of the answer is it benefits the agents who have relationships with these teams, because, you know, in the legal tampering window and prior to it, teams have relationships with agents, but it's against the rules, right, for them to have a conversation with somebody that's representing themselves. And so when you have somebody who steps outside of that system, you have a lot of sources who are motivated to say, like, well, you know, I don't know about this quarterback out of Louisville, this Heisman Trophy winner. He doesn't have an agent. His mom is representing him, so you know he could be a little different. And so when you don't necessarily play by that particular industry's rules, and again, that's an industry that's going to have a relationship with the team long after your career is over.
Yep.
And you're not necessarily privy to all the conversations that they're having. That particular industry could be motivated to tell people stories in a way that make it sound like a quarterback or any player is unique in the way that they approach the game. And Caleb is definitely unique.
Oh, yes.
But having that level of success and having that level of talent should allow you to say and do the things that he's done. And so it's weird, but unfortunately, I'm not surprised.
No. Last one. Michael Penix Jr. Is he a first rounder to you? Because I love him. I get the people that have some reservations, but like maybe I'm just infatuated with arm talent. And that's my blind spot.
No, I mean arm dope. The key aspect of playing quarterback is throwing the football. And he does it very, very well. And I think, you know, if this is the 1997 draft, Michael Penix Jr. Is probably going to be the number one overall pick. But we get back to the injury concerns yet again. And I think that scares people.
For sure.
But again, Kirk Cousins tore his Achilles last year.
Man, getting $40 mil. Running.
And they're essentially committed for 2 years. And so it depends on who's making the decisions. But, you know, there were thoughts right after the Michigan game. And it's like, Michael Penix, he wants out and all these other stuff. Well, I mean, they were getting done, man. They were getting done in. And Michigan did that to everybody. Over the course. And, you know, you change. Ultimately, like, you know, it's three plays that decide the Alabama game, but still, they made it tough for everybody. And so the fact that didn't turn out the way I've seen a lot of quarterbacks come through and lose a playoff game, lose a big bowl game. It's not like a defining moment for them, but there's also playing in Washington and everybody, you know, you're playing when most of the country's asleep. And so it's not always a fair evaluation. And maybe there's Jake Locker holdovers or whatever.
I still believe. To this day.
But he's definitely a much better quarterback than Jake. I think, right, I'm looking at Michael Penix Jr. in the same way a lot of people are talking about J.J. McCarthy. And a lot of it, right, could be because J.J. McCarthy isn't going to turn 22. I believe until January of next year. And so like there's a projection there and you're thinking like how would we evaluate this prospect after another year of college football? But when you look at the two and the things that they did, I don't think it's particularly close.
It's not close.
Like the number of throws that JJ McCarthy threw this past season was insane. Like I'm not saying it's Trey Lance all over again, but it's still the same. Like there's a projection of there's a limited number of those that he's thrown in college. And it's a huge projection to just be like, okay, he's going to be a top five, top six pick and be the franchise of an NFL team.
Yeah. I think like if I'm making those decisions, I'm going to need to see something elite. I'm going to need to get out there because people do the projection thing The most audacious one was like saying like, oh, Daniel Jones could have a turnaround like Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And so like when it's weird to like comp a player who plays football to like this mechanized destroyer of worlds who can, you know, do the things that nobody physically like are incapable of doing. I think that's where you make the projection, like Anthony Richardson. You make the projection there. But when it's you think about the handful of plays that the JJ made, and again, they won the national championship.
They did.
Right? So I'm not he was good. He was good. I just didn't necessarily see it. I could be wrong, but I didn't see it.
Seems like nobody does. Everybody I talk to, like, nobody's seeing it. Yet I see him in the top 10 and the top. I'm like, what is happening?
There's just a value there until they reach for quarterbacks. Yeah.
Just a football philosophy question. If J.J. McCarthy hits his ceiling, let's say the ceiling that DJ's comped him to, which is Alex Smith, right? That's the comp. Is that worth a top 10 pick if Alex Smith, like, you take Alex Smith's best years in his career?
Prime Alex Smith?
Yes, prime Alex Smith.
Yeah, I think Alex, the value of a quarterback, you get the control for those 5 years. You get a rookie deal. He's solid. You build the rest of your team. I mean, again, DJ is going to forget more football today than I'll ever learn in my entire life.
Right.
If I go back, if you go back and watch Utah Alex Smith, tell me when you see J.J. McCarthy, because Alex Smith was a man amongst boys, right? Well, I mean, it's Utah, so there were other men out there, but still. But still, like, he was, and the athleticism continued late until his NFL career. And I mean, people talk about the decision restrictions on J.J. McCarthy at Michigan. Tucking and running was not restricted mm-hmm. from him. He had that opportunity. I didn't see him doing Alex Smith stuff. I just didn't.
It's a good point, It's a good point.
I'll have anything else, Ryan? Yeah, bro. Our esteemed guest, anything for?
No, man, we really appreciate you coming on. Been wanting to do it for the longest, but you know it's hard. I know it's hard for everybody with the schedules, man. But you know, you top one, man, as far as guests.
Oh, man, no, I appreciate y'all, and I'm glad to see the success. I hated to see that unfollowed hurt. That one hurt. I didn't know if we were gonna get an exception there.
Nah, bro, it's the rules, baby. Gotta go.
This picks me back up after that. So thank y'all for having me.
Thank you for coming on, Patrick. You catch Patrick on the NFL Network. Total Access, just any and everything.
Everything, NFL Network. Every time I put it on, he on there, bro.
It's the off season, so I'm everywhere.
Which we love to see. We love to see you flourish and get what's deservedly yours, man. We're huge fans of yours. We love y'all. We appreciate you as a person, and just appreciate you coming on and just giving us some of your time, truly.
Thank y'all, and thank the subscribers and listeners to this esteemed podcast, y'all. I hope the team gives y'all the season y'all deserve.
I hope so too.
We hope to.
We'll be here to cover it.
We'll cover it regardless. With that, we're out.
Peace.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.